Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
And from metabolism, we are now going to go next to mountaineering, because on Monday, it will be 70 years since Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay became the first people to reach the summit of Everest. Earlier this morning on BBC Radio 4, Tenzing's son Lamling, speaking from base camp at Everest, talked about what they might have made of the enduring fascination people have with the mountain today. Listen to this.
But my main concern is that the safety standards should be higher. This year alone, 12 people have died, and at least about maybe about 100 plus people have had frostbites. 70 years ago, if my father had known what was going to happen today, I don't think he or Hillary would have been very pleased to see the number of, you know, people climbing today and the way it is being climbed today.
Well, from base camp in Everest to the summit of Carntool, Pat Falvey is now joining me on the line. Pat, just before we get to those remarks, what is the enduring fascination with Everest?
Well, I think number one, it's the highest mountain in the world. It's Chomolungma, goddess mother of our earth. It was actually formulated from the bottom of the sea, and the sea creature is actually encrusted to the rock there. For me, it's about the spirituality of it and what it means. For a lot of other people, it's a tick list. It's a tick list like that will come up, an Ironman or a marathon, and then it's their next thing ongoing, and sometimes they're not very prepared, and when they die, they complain, or their families complain. But in actual fact, Everest is one of the most dangerous mountains in the world, and people die there. And thus, as you can see, even this year, lots of people have died.
Yeah, no, absolutely, in trying to conquer the ultimate mountain. Do you agree with what Tenzing Norgay's son Lamling had to say today about safety standards?
Yeah, I do in one way. And in another way, like, as long as it's the highest mountain in the world, it'll attract people from all around the world. But do I think people are prepared enough, like, for it if something goes wrong? The answer is no. Lots of people actually hire guides, and they think that guide's job is to bring them up and bring them back safely. Well, it's not. This is the highest mountain in the world. You're going into the death zone. You have to be aware of its dangers. And there are dangers there. There's rock falls, landslides, as you said, frostbite, 100 people. And I think that people take all of this too lightly. And a lot of people don't train properly enough. Like, they don't train with the fixed ropes, the ladders. And when something goes wrong, it goes radically wrong. And I think that's where the safety standards is breaking down. Would I agree with the mountain being closed to a certain amount of people, as long as it's the highest mountain in the world? It's attracting people from all over the world. Indeed, here on Carntool, and on Carntool, there's over 80,000 people a year now climbing Carntool, compared to probably about 1,000 20 years ago. So it's like, mountains have a fascination. Imagine to stand on top of anything high, the top of a country, the top of a continent. You know, we were like, as human beings, we're made to actually push ourselves to be the best we can be. And that's the fascination I find about it, is that it is the highest mountain in the world. I'd like people to be better. In actual fact, like, I'm mentoring and coaching about 30 people from around the world. I don't like people going if they're not prepared. So that would be my take on it. And over 50 climbers I've climbed with over the years have died in the death zone. Yeah. So we accept the fact, and if you go there, you must accept the fact it's dangerous. It's an adventure. It's a challenge. It's one of the top challenges in the world.
It really is. And look, I mean, I know what Lamling was saying there, was that Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay couldn't have imagined 70 years ago that there would be this many people who were trying to conquer it. When you think of, you know, Everest, it's not just a mountain for many people. It's a metaphor. Once you've climbed Everest, Pat, what is left to conquer out there?
Well, like, it's like everyone has a different Everest. When I stood there myself, and I remember actually being there with Claire O'Leary, the first Irish female. Like, on that trip, it wasn't our people that died. 15 reached the summit, 4 died. And on the way down, I remember Claire saying to me, "What's next?" And there's always a "what's next." Like, what was next for her was to do the 7 summits. She became the 14th woman in the world only to do it. And when she finished that, she said, "What's next again?" And then she walked to the South Pole with me, and I became the first person in the world to do that. Everest North and South, 7 summits twice. And then, you know, it was what's next. We've done to live with 32 tribes of people all around the world, trying to figure out what has, you know, driven man since the evolution of our species. And then finished that, and what was what's next? To become the best grandfather that I can be. Even that's the hardest thing I'll ever do. And the what's next? I'd love to go to space. So there's always a what's next in people's lives. And it could be just to have to retire. I think I'm in the old age pension now, and I've just finished a 100-day trek like between the Himalayas, Africa, and ballooning over the Serengeti. So there's always a what's next.
There's and we'll be keeping an eye, Pat Falviard, for your what's next. 70 years on Monday since Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay became the first people to reach the summit of Everest.